Hey there, thanks so much for joining me for Rooftops. My prayers that this would challenge you, encourage you to activate your faith as you hear God speak to you. Right out of the gate, I just want to start by sharing a pet peeve, and that is like when you wear a necklace or a chain of some sort and it gets all kinked and tangled and knotted. You've probably been there before if you've ever wore a necklace. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I feel like this happens to me often. And thank God for my husband because he kind of just saves the day. He has saved probably, I don't know, countless of my necklaces from being so tangled up. Like he'll come in and he'll see me working on them. I'll have them laid out, maybe on like the bathroom countertop or something. And I'm trying to pick it apart and get the tangles out. And I just get frustrated and I kind of just move on. Like if it doesn't happen quickly, fairly easily, like I'm out, right? Because who wants to spend all day untangling a necklace? But he kind of sees it, I think, as like this challenge or this project to overcome. So like he'll come behind me and kind of just do this and do that. And somehow, some way, he's always getting them untangled. And I'm like, that's awesome because now I don't have to throw that necklace away, right? Like we're not talking about anything super expensive, but just little necklaces. And I kind of have a way with them. So I'm not going to continue to wear a necklace that has a tangle, like an obvious knot or is all knotted up because it just kind of takes away from its beauty, right? Like that's what necklaces are meant to be. They're statement pieces. And I think if I did wear a necklace that was all tangled, somebody would be remarking or at least thinking in their head, like, why is she wearing that, right? Like her necklace is so messed up. And so knots and tangles actually become distractions. And for me, I see a parallel here. Our lives are supposed to bring glory to God. We're meant to shine and reflect His light, His love to the world. But when our lives get all tangled up, people have a hard time seeing Jesus in us. Maybe all they can see are the knots and the tangles in our lives. So I want to talk today about three ways that our lives can become entangled. And they're all found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So here are the three ways just listed, right? It's lust of the flesh, it's lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's these three things that make up the world system that's really the basis for all sin. Okay, like if we go all the way back to the beginning and when Satan came and tempted Eve in the garden, I just want to read Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, like that craving came, that lust of the flesh, she wanted to taste it, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, sounds like lust of the eyes there, and a tree desirable to make one wise. And that, of course, sounds like the pride of life, like wanting to be like God, wanting to know everything. And so we know the story. She took of its fruit and ate. And in back in verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, like all that it can boast of, all that it can promise us, it's only temporary. It's just this transient gratification that comes and goes. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And the lust of the flesh really are just these sensual desires that reside in the flesh and their cravings to gratify ourselves, to want more and more of what feels good. And the lust of the eyes, that can be quite a few things, maybe even just this driving desire for the finer things in life, so to speak, like all of the stuff, all the material things, or, you know, the houses and the cars and the clothes, the handbags, the shoes, whatever it might be, whatever it is that captivates our eyes and our attention and pulls them from being on God. It can be even lusting after people and covetousness. Pride of life. This is where we're hunting after honors and accolades and titles and pedigrees and even boasting or taking confidence in our acquaintances or who we know, all of our connections, so to speak. And the Bible says that the love of the world and the love for the things in the world is not of the Father. that nothing of these temporary attachments either comes from God or leads to God. They're of this world. Here they begin, flourish, and end. And that's just it. They're temporary. They're transitory. They're passing. They're fleeting, which means when we go to these, when we go after these, we come up dry. Like, we're always left just wanting more and more. We're unsatisfied. We're never fulfilled, and we're just left empty. It's like a dead-end road. I want to read to you 1 John 2:15 through 17 out of the Message, which I just think has a really cool spin on it. It says, "Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all of its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity." So it's all this wanting that gets us tangled up. And maybe you've read before in John 10:10, where Jesus says that He came to give us life and life abundantly. And when I think about abundant life, that seems like the very opposite of a life that is dominated or filled with cravings and just wanting and always being unfulfilled in life. I'm going to read out of the Adam Clark commentary regarding lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. This is what he says. "They deprave the mind, divert it from divine pursuits, and render it utterly incapable of spiritual enjoyments." And I have found that to be so true, that when we love the world, when we love the things in the world, when we're passionate about those things, we're unable to enjoy the abundant life that God did come to give us. And the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's what steals from our true fulfillment. And again, in John 10:10, Jesus did say that He came to give us life and life abundantly. But right before that, He says it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know that to steal is to take something from someone that it doesn't belong. It doesn't belong to you, right? And in Christ, there's some things that belong to us. Like in Christ, peace belongs to us. Contentment belongs to us. Joy belongs to us. And I think sometimes we tend to think that we're just kind of helpless against the thief, that he can just come and take whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But the Bible tells us that a stronger man has come than Satan, and that's Jesus, and he bound up the strong man. So we don't want to give the enemy more credit than what he's due, because the truth is, not everything that is lost is stolen from us, but sometimes we forfeit it. We just give it away. And the enemy is the prince of the air, and he's literally staging things around us, staging things around you right now to entice you, to distract you. And when we begin to seek those things and give in and fix our eyes on those, just fixate and loving the things of the world, that's when we get entangled by them. And there are some things, no doubt, that in the world in and of themselves are not necessarily evil or good, but it's when we crave them. It's when we, again, fixate on them that we end up creating idols out of them. Because we can't love the things of the world and the Father at the same time. We're going to love one or the other. We're going to be devoted to one or the other. And, you know, even as believers, sometimes I think this unhealthy mindset can kind of creep in, where it's like, oh, I've done my Christian thing this week. Like, I've went to church and I've read my Bible and I've prayed. Maybe I've even served. And so now it's time to indulge in a bit of what I want to do. And if we're not careful, that's how we become entangled. Like, we shouldn't have this Christian clock in, clock out timer, so to speak. Like, oh, I had my quiet time with God today or this morning, and now the rest of the day, it's all mine. It's me time. Or I've been working so hard or doing so good. I deserve this or that. Just a little of this or that isn't going to hurt anything. And really, I mean, if they are just little things and they're not a big deal, why is it so difficult to cut them off and turn away from them? You know what I mean. In Proverbs 5:22 says, "The iniquities of a wicked man entrap him. The cords of his sin entangle him." And so it seems like knots and tangles aren't a big deal, but they absolutely are because they capture us when they entangle us. One of my daughters has wavy hair, and when she was young, when she was a little girl, she had really curly hair, actually. And so brushing her hair was a challenge. Like, it was not fun, y'all. And so we kind of had this routine that, you know, at night after bath time, I would spray like a gallon of anti-tangle, detangling solution on her head, saturate it. You know, she was really tender-headed, and I would have to go slow and try to get every single tangle out of her hair. And it was tough because her hair was so curly. And even if I would leave the smallest tangle, I can remember even as she was growing up a little bit and learning to do those things herself, and she would be tempted like just to comb the top layer and that underneath layer, just kind of like leave it and not brush it all the way through. And I'll tell you, it was a mess, because if you leave even the smallest tangle, what happens is it creates a mat. It gets all matted. And the only thing left to do with a mat is to cut it off. And so tangles spread until they just encompass more and more space. And it's the same in our lives. Their end goal is to cut off our love and our passion for Jesus. And when we're under the influence of these things, just kind of like drinking, for instance, we become impaired. Like it just obscures reality and the truth. We aren't so sharp. We don't necessarily think with clarity and purpose. We lose vision. We get sloppy. We do things that we normally wouldn't do. We make choices that we normally wouldn't choose. So how do we keep from loving the world, loving the things in the world? Because it kind of can be a slow fade, and then pretty soon we're tangled. So I want to go back to the necklace and my pet peeve on tangled necklaces. And I was thinking about this, like, how do the necklaces get tangled? I just got to take some ownership here, and it's really on me. It's by not properly caring for them. Like, I'll just get tired of wearing it. You know, I want to take it off and I'll just throw it in my bag. I'll throw it in my purse. I'll leave it laying around somewhere, you know, on my nightstand, whatever, whenever. And so that's the reason. And when I don't put the necklaces where they should go, which is on a hanging jewelry rack, then I get tangles. But on the jewelry rack where they do go, where they're supposed to go, there's this hook at the top, and it connects to the necklace, and it holds the necklaces up, and it keeps the necklace from just falling. It keeps the necklace straightened out so that it doesn't become knotted and tangled. And so maybe, again, you know, you can see the parallel here where I'm going with this, but just like my necklaces need to be returned to their proper place, we need to return to our proper place. We need to go to Jesus, and we need to go to Him daily. And this is where we need to be found, so that we can keep connecting with God, because it's from this connection with God where He holds us up and He keeps us from falling and He keeps our lives straight and tangled free. And our lives really should be intertwined with connection with God throughout the whole day. You know, not just, again, a clock in and a clock out, I've had my God time, but just staying connecting and abiding in Christ. That's how we keep our lives straight. That's how we keep our passion and our pursuits hot for God. So when we go to our proper place, we will stay tangled free. So I hope that encouraged you today. And maybe if you find yourself like me, many times just getting kind of tangled up, that you'd run back to your place, the place you are meant to be, which is in Christ. And you turn away from those things and let Him ignite a fresh passion for Him and His purposes. So thanks for joining me for Rooftops.